chapter 31. Now the main man is Moses. Moses is the man that is about to say his last few words. Now when someone's about to die and leave this world to go to be with the Lord, they have a lot of things to say. And so in Deuteronomy 31, chapter 31, this is the last official, the last few chapters of this book is the last few words officially he will speak to the nation of Israel. He's going to talk to the elders. He's going to talk to the new leader, Joshua. And so our survey ends tonight of this book. The last few Wednesdays have been a survey of Deuteronomy. And then the next time it'll be another survey of another book. Now look at chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. There are some verses that you should see, and you should look at them with me so that you can get a blessing from these verses as well. Deuteronomy 31, and look at verse number 1. The main character is Moses, and then it's also going to be Joshua. You may have heard of both of them. Now, when you hear the name Moses, what do you think about when you hear the name Moses? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Even before you were a Christian, when you thought about the name Moses, what do you think about?
Dead Sea.
Dead Sea, what else?
Plagues of Egypt.
Plagues of Egypt. All right.
How about Commandments.
Ten Commandments, right, okay. And when you hear the name Joshua, what do you think about?
The spies.
Okay, so a lot of different things come to our mind when we think about Bible characters, but Joshua is the main character here. Moses is the main character. Let's look at Moses, first of all, as we finish up the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. So he formally talks to all the nation, all the people, elders, and everyone involved. There's a crowd of people before him. I'm not sure how they all heard him without amplification, but he spoke before all the people. Verse number 2. He said unto them, I am, look at what it says here about his age. I am 120 years old this day. Now, it doesn't mean that's his birthday. It just means on this day he's talking to them, I'm 120 years old. Now, would you say that's a very old man? Would you say that's a senior citizen for sure? Would you say he qualifies for all kinds of care, Medicare and Medishare, everything else too? He's a very old man. Now, he says this though, I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now, when he says, I cannot go out or come in, when he says, I'm 120 years old, you would think that because of his age, he is disqualified to lead the people into across the Jordan into the new promised land, Canaan. You'd think that'd be the reason, but it's not the reason at all. It's not because he's old, because he says in another chapter, let's see, chapter 34, come over here, chapter 34, verse number 7. It's not because he's old that he cannot go into the promised land. 34, verse number 7. Now see what it says about his age and about his health. Look at verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, or was not dim. You would think at 120 years old, you need trifocals, triple focals, and you need binoculars to see when you're 120 years old. I started getting glasses when I was in my 40s. One day I was playing softball, and I couldn't see the ball at night. All the lights, Francis, was fuzzy like that. It was like haze. And the ball said to me, and right through, I thought, oh, where's the ball? And I was thinking, am I going blind? I couldn't, and then I had my eyes checked, come to find I needed a pair of glasses. Yeah. The doctor says, okay, now when you put these glasses on, when you drive, are you driving? Yes. When you drive them, be careful. Everything's going to be very sharp. Everything will be very clear. And it was single vision. Put it on. This was at Kmart in Waikele at the time. Put it on. Oh, everything was so sharp. Out in the distance, up close, was so sharp. Well, I didn't think any, and pretty soon I have to get bifocals. And then trifocals. Trifocals are now called progressives. I have progressives on here. You don't see that hard line. You used to have those hard line ones for bifocals where you can see it. I have to look down. Right now, if I look out, I can see very clearly, but I have to do that. When I'm looking at my Bible, I have to turn my head down because it's just on the bottom of my lens. Mid-range sometimes is kind of funny. At my computer at home, I have to keep doing this. I keep doing this. And then when I'm lying in my bed reading something, I have to keep doing like that because I got to see through here. Oh, and I'm not 120 years old. He's 120 years old. He says his eyes were not dim. And look at this. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. His natural force is not abated. You know what that means? His natural force is not abated. He's not weak. He's not lost any strength. I knew a man. He's now in heaven. He was 90. He just turned 90 years old past January, and then he died. I talked to him on a Friday. He died on a Sunday. His name is Sam. Sam in Hilo. He's been blind for several years, but every day he had 20-pound dumbbells, and I saw those dumbbells the last time I went to Hilo. 20-pound, he'd do that. He'd do curls, 20-pound curls each arm, each day. He'd do push-ups each day, up until he was 90 years old. And he took pride, in, rightfully so, that he was strong at his age, because he always did those things. Now, Moses was way beyond 90 years old. He was 120, and he says that his health, his strength, his natural force, nor his natural force abated, it was not weakened, it was not lessened. Now, I don't think he could run as fast as a 20-year-old could run. I don't think he could pick up as much weight as younger people. One of my nephews, my wife's nephew in Texas, was in a weightlifting meet. He's only 5'8", 5'9", 140, 50 pounds. And he deadlifted, I think, 350 or 400 pounds. I mean, that's a lot of weight for his age. I don't know how much weight Moses could pick up at his age of 120, but he does say he was not weak. He could still see sharply. Now, that's not the reason why he was denied going to the promised land. That wasn't the reason why. The reason was, if you come back to chapter 31, he was denied going to the promised land because the Lord denied him. Not because poor health. Not because he was senile. Not because he had Alzheimer's disease. He didn't have Alzheimer's disease, by the way. Isn't that unusual? So it was not because of health he was denied. It's because a long time ago he had sinned in the wilderness when he struck the rock, when he was supposed to speak to the rock at Meribah. And so the Lord chastised him for that and denied him going into the promised land. However, the Lord did let him go and see the promised land. He was able to go up to the mountain, Mount Nebo, and look across east, west, north, and south. He could see all the promised land across the River Jordan. So the Lord still had grace to give him the privilege of seeing the land, but he could not go into the land. And so he could not see Canaan land. He was denied that privilege. And so because the rock was a picture of Jesus Christ, and he struck the rock, and so he was denied that. Now, in chapter 31, look at verse number 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. This is Moses saying to Joshua, he will go before thee, and he will destroy these nations before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. Now, the Lord tells, through Moses tells about Joshua, and God speaks through Moses, and it says, I will go before Joshua. Going before Joshua means I will go ahead of him. He won't go into the Jordan alone. The Ark of the Covenant will go first, and then the priest will follow over 1,000 feet behind him, and the people follow and so on. But the words that he uses, I will go before him, meaning that God will be with them when they go into the new land. When they cross the river into this strange land, which is God's promised land for them, he says, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. So Moses tells the people, and this is encouraging to Joshua as well, that you're not going to go there alone. You're going to go experience something really different, but you're not going to go by yourself. You haven't come this way before, but you're not going to be there by yourself. And so, in verse number, let's look at verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. The them are the people in the land. The people in the land are, well, they call them warriors. They call them the heathen. These people in the land, don't be afraid of them, are also giants. There are giants in the land. Goliath was a giant. He had a family. He had brothers. There's a bunch of giants over there. It's called the land of the giants in many places of Canaan. And he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, here's why not to be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, verse 7, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. Now, first Moses is talking to everybody. Joshua is there, standing there, and he said, Joshua, come here. Come on, onto the platform, Joshua. Come, Joshua. Joshua comes up over here. And Moses says this in front of all the people with Joshua there. He says unto Joshua, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now, what did Moses do here? Moses had Joshua come up in front of all the nation. The ones way in the back couldn't even see it probably. It's like a speck. Because there's a lot of people, hundreds of thousands of people. And here's Joshua. Moses is saying to all the people, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go. You must go with this people, all these people here, unto the land crossing the Jordan into Canaan, which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Do you know what he's saying to Joshua? You know what Moses is doing here? Moses is a good leader. Not only is he courageous, brave, compassionate, kind, humble, stubborn. You got to have all those things in a leader. He's telling everybody, now look, people, I was your leader for 40 years. For 40 years, I led you from out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness. For 40 years, I was your leader. Now, do you know that Moses was 40 years in Egypt as an adopted son of the Pharaoh? He went to the backside of the Midian for 40 more years. That's 80 years. So I just thought about this. I want to pass on to you. 120 years, 40 years in Egypt. The next 40 years in a desert. Egypt. Okay, pyramid. The next 40 years, he was their leader in the wilderness. Two-thirds of his life was preparing him for that. 80 years of his life was preparation for that. A lot of times people today, they want to do something like that without that. They want to jump right into something without any preparation, and then they fail. There was one man in Alabama. He was being mentored by his pastor to be a preacher, and the pastor was so anxious to have this man, this married man of three kids, to be like an assistant pastor. He was so anxious to have me an assistant pastor that he kind of helped him to cut some corners and kind of pushed him along too fast, introduced him to people. Oh yeah, this is my assistant pastor. He's a preacher kind of thing. This guy's a good guy. I met the guy. Went to his house one time. But this guy was not ready to be in the position of preaching every week. Not in the prisons or going to churches to raise support. He wasn't in that position. He wasn't ready emotionally. He wasn't ready in maturity, although he was in his 40s. And he turned on the pastor and did some bad things to him. And so I know about that firsthand. So he wanted to bypass this preparation period because he was too impatient. He was not willing to go slow and let God work on him and so on. Moses, though, he had 40 long years of ministry and service leadership for Israel, but 80 years was very slow for him. Kind of interesting thing about that. And now he says, Joshua, you are the one that's going to take over from now. He wants everyone to know Joshua will step in by sandals now and lead you through Jordan and across into the Canaan land. He is the one you should now begin to follow. I've done what I could. I've had my role. And now I step aside. God's going to take me home. He won't let me get into the promised land, but I can get to see it. But he's the man that's going to actually physically take you through and into and conquer the land. He's wanting all of them to know, I approve of this. He's wanting all of them to know this is God's choice. He's not wanting anybody to have some competition. Oh, I wish Moses was still here. Oh, it's Moses. Oh, you don't do like Moses did. He doesn't want any of that to go on. He just says, I want you to follow him like you follow me. However, he does say these words, and he repeats these words, and these words are in verse number 6 and verse number 7 and verse number 8. What are these words he tells Moses, Josh in front of everybody? He says these words to the people. He says these words to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 8, and the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, in chapter 31, come down to verse number 23. There's a repeating of those same words in verse number 23. And I'm going to ask you the question, why does he repeat himself? Why does he say this thing to Joshua over and over? Look at verse 23. He gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. Well, he said that before. He says it again. For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. He's repeating what he said before. Now, if you come down to verse number 27, you will now find the answer as to why Joshua was given these words again and again, and why Moses said these words to him more than one time. Look at verse 27. Remember, he still talked to the whole nation and talked to Joshua. Verse 27. For I know thy rebellion. What? I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? This Moses talked to all the people. Now, he says in verse 20, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter time of days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until the end. Now, why did he repeat to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage? Because he knew something about the people that he was about to inherit. Moses says, for 40 years I led these people. Boy, they gave me grief. All these people, they complained about me. They grabbed up me and my brother. They wanted to stone me. Oh, they were so upset with me because they didn't understand what God was doing through me, and I was leading you. And then, they wanted to kill me, and I wanted to have them dead too. The feeling was mutual. And so the Lord, you know, Moses, you know, argued with the Lord and got him to back off from his anger. But he says, as they treated me, Joshua, they'll treat you the same way. How about that for being positive? As they treated me, that's how they would treat you. When I die, Joshua, when I die, everybody, telling the whole world, they're going to do worse to you than they did to me. And that's why he says to them, be strong and have a good courage. Joshua, be strong and have a good courage, because the people that I love, that you love, that I led, that you will lead, they do the same thing to you that they did to me. So Joshua, be strong and have a good courage. Joshua, I know you might want to just have the earth split open and let them fall in and die, but be strong and have a good courage. The people that you're leading will give you more grief than the people you're going to face in the land. In the land of Canaan, the giants, no problem. The high walled cities, no problem, because God's going to do it. But the people are going to give you problems, Joshua. So Joshua, be strong and have a good courage. And that's why he repeats himself. He wants to give Joshua encouragement for what he will face. Now, Joshua already saw what Moses faced with the people. He's had 4 decades of experience with them. Joshua's number 2 in command. He's a second man, so to speak. And he sat there, he watched them. He watched how they rebelled against Moses. He's probably thinking, oh, man, you guys better watch that. Don't that, man. Don't do that. They did it anyway. God chastised them. Again, they asked for forgiveness. God forgives them. And Joshua's thinking, I hope they don't do that again. God let them off this time. I hope they don't do it again. They do it again. They drag and complain against, murmur against him. And Joshua's thinking, oh man, you guys, you don't know what you're doing. God's going to get you. And they do it again. And then they beg for mercy. The Lord forgives them. And Joshua watches all of this, how Moses deals with them. And Joshua's thinking, oh boy, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how Moses takes all that garbage from them. I don't know how he puts up with that. Little did he know, one day he'd be in Moses' shoes or sandals. Little did he know, one day he'll face the very same stuff that they give toward him. These younger people, this new generation, these adults. And so that's why he tells them, be strong of good courage. Moses knew that Joshua needed Joshua needed encouragement. That's why he repeats himself, be strong and of a good courage. Now, here's the funny thing. Joshua was encouraged by what Moses said before all the people. First of all, he didn't want the people to think he was doing this, backstabbing or usurping. No, he did this, not the new leader, because it was God's appointment for him. And Joshua was wise to let everybody know about that. And so now he's about to take the reins and lead them over the river, through the river, and over to the new land. He wants the people to know again what Moses said. So he repeats the very same things that Moses told him. Come to Joshua. One book over, Joshua chapter 1. The thing you want to know now is these words, be strong of a good courage, was needed for Joshua. The people that Joshua would lead, they need to hear that as well. Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Notice that Moses was a servant, and Moses' minister was a servant, Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, verse 4 are the places they will get. Wherever you walk, that's what you're going to get. Can you imagine if the Lord said that to you today? Everywhere you walk on Oahu, that's going to be your property. Can you imagine that? That's not going to happen. Verse 6, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, Joshua now talks to the people and encourages them. He says, when you come into the land, you mark it off, you go as far as you can until you can't walk anymore, and you stop. Okay, that's going to be that property line. You go way over here, and wherever you go, that's where it's going to be. He says, no man is able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, God is saying here, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do it, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? He's repeating what Moses told him before the people. Now he's telling the people again, be not afraid of what? Of the people. Be not afraid of warring against giants. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't fret. Don't throw in the towel just because things are getting difficult. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now here's what you want to see. Moses gives the words to Joshua. Joshua is encouraged by that. As he leads the people, he gives the same words to the people. As he was encouraged, he wants the nation to be encouraged. You realize how much words have an effect on people? You realize how powerful words are? I mean, words are powerful. Now, the gospel is powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation. But words, everyday usage, or in a leadership position, or in a family situation, words are very influential, very powerful, very effective, or destructive. So words are like this. They will be helpful
or they'll be destructive.
Plus and minus. So the words that Joshua heard from Moses was very positive, optimistic, encouraging words. God's with you. He'll not fail you. Oh, thank you for telling me that. Now I feel like I can do the job. Joshua's turn is to be the leader now. He's number one. He's in control. He's got the authority. He says, people, 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 listen. Be not afraid. Be strong and of a good courage. Because the Lord's with you. He will not let you down. He will not fail you. Don't give up just because things are hard. And so they say, oh, Moses, oh, Joshua, thank you. You know, they lived in tents. Probably some mother was saying in her tent, oh, this is so hard. My husband is so afraid of the giants. He's got to go and battle again. Battle tomorrow. These tribes are supposed to go and fight against them, but my husband, he's so afraid. He's never fought before. This is not his lifestyle. This is something new to him. And now he's got to go, and he's been worried so much. Thank you, Josh, for those words. Be not afraid. Be strong of good courage. Reason, because God's with us. And when they heard those words, they said, oh boy, you know, I'm not a whole lot. I'm not really a great fighter. I'm not a great kung fu man. I'm not mixed martial arts. I even know how to hold a gun. Well, they didn't have guns back then, you know. I don't know how to use a sling or what do you call those things? No, Goliath, David and Goliath. Sling?
Sling.
Yeah, I didn't know how to use a sling. I didn't know how to throw an arrow. I was sheltered all of my life. All I did is play video games. That's all I know how to do. Mm. And watch TV, and I don't know how to do anything on the outside, so I'm scared. My husband's so scared. But when I heard Joshua say, be strong and of good courage, boy, that made my husband really encouraged. My husband says, honey, you know what? If Joshua says God's with us, then I think we can do it. And I think I can go out there and do my duty and be a part of this great big Hebrew army and conquer the land and get our inheritance. I think we can do it. Words are very effective. And the word that they got was very encouraging. And you want to be careful about how you talk. You want to be careful what you say. But I want to say this. These words were repeated because Joshua needed it. Joshua was a veteran soldier. Joshua was a military officer. Joshua was a man who was not young. He was not a kid. He's not a teenager. You know, teenagers think they know everything. Sometimes 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds think they know everything. They do not, but they think they do. They think they know all the answers because they read some books. They don't know everything, but they think they do. They have no life experiences. So when it's time for something that's really, you know, real life situations, they get, they get scared. But a man who's been around for 40 years, he's not afraid of the same situation because he's got some experiences. Joshua has experiences, but he also needed encouragement. Okay? Now think about that one. Remember, what you read in the Old Testament is for our learning. What do you learn from what Moses gave Joshua and what Joshua gave to the people? What do you learn about words and about encouragement and about that kind of stuff? What do you learn? You must learn something. There's something you must take from that. Otherwise, it's just a story. Well, that's not any good if you don't learn from it. Well, be strong of good courage. That's because that helps me to think. When I'm scared of something, I need to remember who is with me. God is with me. When I'm scared about a situation, I'm afraid of what could happen tomorrow, I have to remember that with God on my side, He is going to do the fighting for me. I just tag along behind Him. I just obey Him, do what I need to do. When I'm scared, it's not the place for me to run and hide and go away. You know how that works out in real life as a Christian nowadays? Here's how this works out as a Christian. When we're scared and we're afraid of the future, we're afraid of a situation that doesn't seem to be working out, we're so discouraged, we're so upset about it, we're so, when we feel like that, what's the worst thing to do? When you are distressed, when you're afraid, when you're dismayed, what's the worst thing to do? Worst thing is run away. Run away from the problem. Here's how this works out in life.
People get into credit card debt because they use their credit card a whole lot. They don't pay it off every month. So they keep adding it up because it looks like, oh, it's just, you know, it's a trap. You know, it's a cycle. It's a bad trap to keep charging without paying off your balance every month. You got to do that. Otherwise, you're going to get all this debt. You ever listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio? He talks about people who have debt. Unbelievable numbers of people have all kinds of debt. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. When he asks questions, he's asking questions that the hearer can learn about why they did it so that they don't repeat the same mistakes. Dave Ramsey is real smart about a lot of things. And he wants to probe into a person's questions or problems so that, not to be mean with his questions, but to find out what they did wrong so that the listener can know, oh, that's what they did wrong. I don't want to do that too. Well, you know, they lost a job, and so they used their credit card. Well, you got to eat, right? So they used their credit card. And then time goes by, they keep using the card, they keep getting statements, keep putting it off, keep charging on the card and so on. And then they charge up on this card and then they max out all the cards. Well, their reasoning is, well, we got to eat. I got to feed my kids. I got to pay my whatevers. And so and pretty soon that bill that is now like, it's unbelievably big. It's so distressing. And so the family feels like this. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We got so much debt. Oh, the car, got to pay for the car, got to pay for the car, got to pay for this, got to pay for that, and a private school, and all these things that, you know, it's a big pile now. It's a huge mountain of, no way. Can we take care of this? And so he talks to people like that. The worst thing to do is for people who have debt is to keep using that card because it just adds more to the pile. You know what the best thing to do is when you have problems? Not just the debt problem. When you have debt or issues, the worst thing to do is you can do is run away from it. Running away is just ducking it and pretending you really have it. You keep going, buying fast food, you keep charging this, that's running away. So what you should do is listen to the words of Joshua, listen to the words of Moses, and remember who you are. If you're a saved person, if you're a Christian, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? Well, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Joshua, God was with me, he's going to be with you. Because God has something for you to do for me. So it's going to be all right because he's with you. You have to remember who you are and who is with you. The second thing you need to think about when you have big problems is you need to think about what you need to do. He did say in verse number 8 of Joshua chapter 1, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, what has that got to do with solving a problem? It doesn't make any sense. If you got problems, you got fear, you got distress, you got discouragement, what does the Bible have to do with that? He says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Meditate therein day and night. What would that make you do? If you have problems, if a man's got problems, I don't know what it does to a man to just think about the Bible. What does that got to do with his debt? You know how Chinese people think? There's good and bad for everybody, okay? Nobody is perfect, so no problems. You know what Chinese people do when they got money problems? They work another job. And then work another job. Filipinos like that too, you know. They work very hard. They work hard. I don't know how they sleep, but they work hard. And every hour in the day is to make money. So if you have a part-time job here, you got 4 hours between, I gotta work another job. So you get another job. And you work this job, and you work this job, and then you're so tired, and then you got money problems, so you got to work another job. That's how we think because we are industrious. It's a good quality. It's a good trait. But you know what? When you put your mind on the Bible, it says here in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, after you do what the Bible says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then, you see, the then comes after meditating on the word and then finding what God says and then doing that. So you think about it, you're thinking, and then that leads you to knowing something. You know something, and that leads you to doing something. All right, so whatever you think about that's from the Bible, you learn that, you remember that, and that leads you to do something. And this doing is something good. It's something good. It's not something bad. It's not something that makes you run away from God. The worst thing that people can do when they have problems of any kind is to think wrong. Think wrong. Don't think about the Bible. Because you know what the Bible says, they'll know the wrong thing. They hear some friends say, oh, you should do this. Well, you know, what you really should do is this. There was a lady one time, it's been maybe 20 years since my wife and I have known her. She had a little girl. The girl was, I think, 7 years old at the time. Lived over here behind Dillingham Boulevard by Maurikai. There's an apartment back there. She lived in an apartment. We knocked her door one day, and we got to know her. She came to church several times. But anyway, she had money problems. You know what she did? First she said, can you please pray for us because we have, my husband, I think he left or he died. One or the other, I forget. It's over 20 years ago. And so she said, I need more income. I said, we'll pray about that. And so I said, let me know how things are going so we can kind of help as much as we can. And she said, okay, I think I'm going to take a job. I said, okay, what job are you thinking I'm getting? You know what she said? I'm going to work in a Korean bar on Koryomoku Street. In a Korean bar. I said, I just said, are you sure you want to do that? She said this. See, because she wasn't meditating on the word. See, she was just thinking about how she can pay her bills, which is a good thing. But then she wasn't thinking what the Bible says. She had to think about what she knows to do. She said she worked at, her main job was over at the restaurant over by Ala Moana and around HHV, right across that big restaurant. Been there for many years. What is the name of that place? Wailana Coffee Shop, something like that? Okay, you're all blank too? Okay. Waikiki, she worked there as a waitress. She's going to take a second job at a Korean bar. Get off work, go straight to work in a Korean bar. And I said, why would you not do that? She said this, listen to this now. She said in her own thinking, she said, because the tips are good. She said, I heard the tips are good. Where'd you hear it from? Well, she heard it from some friends of hers, which made her think about it. Their friend said, well, you know, on a good night, I can make X amount of dollars. And I said, well, is that environment good for a Christian woman to be working in? She said, well, no, but the money's good. So you know what I said? Now, if you thought I was mean to her, I wasn't mean to her. I said, well, the money may be good, but wouldn't it be another job that God could put you in that also is got good money, but the environment is good, but there's no smoking, drinking, and all kind of guys, all that kind of stuff. I said, you don't really be wrong like that, do you? She said, no, but what am I going to do? So her thinking was good and bad. Good that she wanted to work, and she wanted to do what she could. Good. But it was bad because she was going the wrong direction. She's running from what the Bible says. Never do that because it'll never work out. And so when you meditate on the Word of God, Joshua tells the people, you will have good success military-wise, agriculture-wise, and every otherwise. You'll have a happy family if you just think about what God says to do, and then you begin to do that. He says it does work like that. So this thing about encouraging words goes throughout the whole Bible. I have several references. I'll just tell them to you so that we don't stay too long. But besides Joshua, in 2 Samuel, David the king, his captain, his general, Joab, has a brother named Abishai. They are surrounded by the enemy, the Syrians. Wherever he looked, Joab looks here, bunch of Syrians. Look behind, bunch of Syrians. And he tells his brother Abishai, okay, you take this side over here. And if you need help, I'll come help you. But if I need help, I'll call you, come help me. Okay? They said, okay. But then they said this, we need to play the man for our people. We need to play the man. You know what that's about? We need to be strong enough to be of courage, even though we seem to be outnumbered. Play the man. Now, in the New Testament, Paul said this, quit ye like men, in 1 Corinthians 16. Be like a man. You got troubles? Be a man. Don't duck, don't run, don't blame anybody else. Just be the man. Don't make excuses. Be the man. Quit you like men. Take care of responsibilities. You're the man, you be the man. And that's what he talks about. And all that is while you're keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. Now, here's another example. King Hezekiah was surrounded by the Assyrians and the army of Sennacherib, and they were outnumbered. And he told his people, be strong and of good courage. So that's another example of the Bible where this theme of being strong, good courage, saying encouraging words, truthful words, is helpful to people. Now, let me give one verse, and then we're going to be done. Psalm 27. Look at Psalm 27. And verse 13. Psalm 27 and verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That really is like about what Joshua said to the people, what Moses said to Joshua. So you find that the source of encouragement is not just by being optimistic or, oh, it'll be a better day tomorrow. Oh, the sun's going to shine tomorrow. It's more than that. That's very shallow to say that. What's really encouraging is, you know what the Bible says? Who you are, where is God? Has he helped you before? Can he help you again? Moses says to Joshua, this is what God did for us. Joshua tells the people, remember what God did for you. So when we face hardship and big enemies, remember what God did before. Can you do it again? Of course. So that's how you get real encouragement. It's not from just thinking positive and buying a book about thinking positive. It doesn't work like that. Because you got to face reality. And you face reality with the real faith in God that he will help you because he's with you. He's done it before. He can do it again. Okay? Now, do you know somebody who needs encouragement? Well, you might want to pray about that. You know that it's always good for you to use words that are encouraging. There's a time for everything under the sun, but usually most people would need to have words that are encouraging to them, truthful words. You want to butter anybody up, make them feel good when they don't deserve it, so to speak. But encouraging words are very good. Let me close by telling you this. There's some of the grandkids that I've seen them real growth and growing up. The way they talk, the way they respond, I am seeing some real growth in the kids. And I'm thinking to myself, why is it that the kids are growing up like that? Now, none of the kids are really bad kids. All of them seem to have good character, respect for adults. All of them seem to be responsive and honest and things like that. And I'm seeing in a couple of them, especially, real growth. And I'm trying to think why. I think I know why. At least one reason why. Would you like to tell what the one reason is, I think, as to why they're growing up right? Are you curious? It's the words they hear in their home. The words they hear in their home are not screaming, get over here or I'm going to beat the life out of you. You don't ever hear that. Now the kids are kids, so understand that. They argue about Legos and they're selfish every time because they're kids. But by and large, you don't see them yelling. Nobody raised their voice against anybody. And when somebody tells them, they stop. No yelling is necessary. Everything's talked in a very soft tone, and I watch how they both raise their kids. They just talk to them. Now, the small ones are more hard. They're still growing up. They still have a hard time learning. But the older ones, boy, the older ones are great. They have responsibility about them. They want to work to earn their money. They don't expect everything to come to them for free. They don't expect all the things given to them. They want to work for things. They have a good value system. A lot of it has to do with how they're talked to. You know how some Christians are just cranks? Adult Christians are cranky because people around them say things to them that makes them feel cranky. You know why some people are always grouchy and bitter and mad all the time, or react like, ugh. You're not talking like that to me. It's because people treat them like that. And you know why people are discouraged sometimes? It's because people nobody encourages them to try their best, or nobody ever expresses to them, I think you can do that. Moses told Joshua, you're going to bring the people into the land, and they will conquer the land. And he was really saying to them, saying to Joshua, I know you can do, I have confidence in you. Some people just need to have somebody believe in them. Most people put people down because they're not 100% faithful, 100% consistent. Well, nobody really is, but some people just need, you know what? I need to talk to you. I know that you really want to get this done, and sometimes it's hard. I know that, but you know what? I have confidence in you. You know, so for some people, they just need talk like that. That's what Joshua needed. And Joshua was a great leader. A lot to do with how he watched Moses treat and lead, and how Moses, at the final end, talked to him before the people, and it made him feel honored. It made him feel like a man. It made him feel like he ought to do the job, and he can do the job because of trust is in God, see? And so, watch your words. Use your words right and properly. They do have an effect on people. Sometimes you get mad, okay, fine. But, you know, have the humility to apologize. Sometimes you just got to rebuke somebody. Okay, it's got to be done sometimes. But more than not, most of the talk we have, just think about how you can encourage somebody who needs it, instead of always thinking about yourself. That's my nature, no? Selfish. I have to make myself think about other people and what they need and the words that I use to them, speak with them. Okay? So that's the end of Deuteronomy and some practical things we learned from it. So I hope that was helpful to you. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the book that we scanned and surveyed. And thank you, Lord, for the lesson we learned from it, for our time, for our lives, in our church, to be helpful to one another, and for our homes and for our relationships. Help us, Lord, to remember that our words are powerful in both directions. And it just depends on the need at the moment, how we respond, how we talk. But generally speaking, people more than not need to be uplifted rather than put down. And they need to be encouraged rather than discouraged by saying negative things to them all the time, making them feel low and small and insignificant. We need to help people to do their best by encouraging them and helping them along the way. And we thank you for the examples we find in the Bible from Moses and Joshua. And we thank you for your Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.